I'm Daniel Centeno. You're listening to CJRU 1280 AM. This story is part of the Local Journalism Initiative. Painter and art exhibitor with a passion for Toronto neighborhoods, Brian Harvey finds his inspiration in seeing the beauty in the ordinary, everyday objects and places. His work explores often overlooked areas, things, and buildings of a city he says is in constant change. Recently, he launched the solo exhibit Drift, which represents journeying and exploring around Toronto. Today, Brian Harvey talks about his inspirations, Toronto's effect on his work, and what he hopes visitors will experience from his exhibit. After going to school with the goal of working in animation, Brian took up additional courses as he navigated through the possibility of a career in art. This led to his growing passion for painting and choosing it as the primary medium for his work.
I felt like I needed more training to pursue a career in animation or 3D animation, which is what I thought I wanted to do at the time. So I started took a few courses in life drawing and animation at Sheridan College, which then took me into Art Fundamentals, which is sort of a foundation course. And then I still didn't really know where I was going or what I wanted to do. I was really interested in art, but I didn't know if there was a future in that. And then I found out about a school called the Art Center at Central Tech. So Central Tech is a high school, but they had this really great program that I applied for, and I got in, and I was pretty much sold my first class. It was a fantastic school, and it was just a really intensive fine arts education. I was pretty well convinced by the end of my first year that this is what I wanted to do, whether I could make it a career or not. So I just kept painting, and then, you know, things started to come together, and I was able to build a career out of that.
And I guess right now, why has painting been so important as a medium for you to express your ideas?
Well, my interests, I guess, lie primarily in representing and translating what I see into paint. I'm drawn to light and to color and to form, so it was never really a choice. I was immediately drawn to oil paint as soon as I picked it up. I've been working exclusively in oil for about 20 years. I mean, first and foremost, I love working with wet paint. I love the versatility of oil paint. I enjoy mark making, and I love the physicality of paint and surface. So while I'm inclined to work observationally, I've always loved abstract work. And with my work, I try to ride the line between image and surface. I want to create the illusion of reality, but when you get up close, it's just a mess of paint and marks. It's something I latched onto and never got tired of it. It's always a challenge. There's always more to learn. It's a bit of an obsession, I guess, maybe.
And I'm just taking this from your website, but you mentioned that there's this interest you have with like the mundane, the everyday objects, like spaces and urban landscapes. Can you talk to me more about that, please?
Yeah, sure. I feel that it's important to really look at the things that surround us every day, and to try to see them for the first time, to simply, you know, try to see beauty in the ordinary. So it's easy to stop looking and noticing. And I feel that, you know, these everyday kind of banal objects and spaces, they act as kind of the stage and the props, you know, of our lives. And they carry a wealth of histories and stories and experiences. But, you know, my interest in the mundane came partially, I guess, too, from my art education. We were taught to draw and paint by studying simple still life setups. And I learned that, you know, through pots and pans, you could create as interesting a painting as any figurative composition. The idea is that if you could paint a coffee cup well from life, you could paint a portrait or anything else. And the use of these objects as a way of studying painting was also very accessible. It's really easy to just set up a few objects and throw a light on it and get to work. And then the interest in the urban landscape sort of came from, you know, I live in the city. I've been living in the city for 20 years, and the city has become my everyday. So, you know, it's an extension of that. I just try to always be looking at things again and trying to look at things for the first time.
He describes how Toronto has become central to his work. What started as an early fascination has transformed into sources of inspiration as he became more acquainted with its neighborhoods.
Well, I mean, I was always excited by the city. As a kid, I grew up in the suburbs, and so it was always fascinating to me. And it was at the Art Center at Central Tech where I really started to get to know the city. It was an endless source of inspiration on a lot of levels. It was new to me at the time, and so it was fascinating from this sort of point of view of exploration. But these days, my work is a lot more about my own neighborhood and the things, like I was talking about, the things I see over and over again. So a lot of my work just sort of comes from my own, you know, wanderings and explorations of the city, and just, you know, sometimes even just going up, walking up the same alleyway every day to get a cup of coffee, you know, and trying to look at that again as the light changes, as the seasons change. And, you know, my work these days, though, has also become increasingly about documentation as well, as more and more of the old city is sort of lost. And it's kind of a bit of a mad dash sometimes to paint things before they're gone. And so, you know, it's very upsetting to see much of the historic parts of the city lost to development. And, you know, a lot of these bits and pieces that disappear are sometimes things that are really overlooked, and we don't really, you know, notice they're there until they're gone. And so I'm just, yeah, constantly trying to just explore my own neighborhood and find these things before they disappear. I live in Leslieville. I live in Leslieville, and I have a studio in the distillery, which is quite close. So these days, it's mostly the East End that I'm exploring. Well, I've often painted the neighborhoods I've lived in, you know, mostly just because of accessibility, because I'm there all the time. I used to live in the Junction. I lived in Roncesvalles. I lived in Parkdale for a number of years. So when I was living there, it was the same thing. I would be able to walk up the same alley, you know, numerous times and find inspiration and find subject matter. And obviously those neighborhoods have changed a lot as well. So it kind of came out, it was sort of I started noticing things that I'd painted that were gone. And so it became a little bit, you know, as the development started to really speed up, it became, like I said, kind of an imperative to get these things before they were gone. So while I'm not really acting as a documentarian, I'm not always going out. Sometimes I'll go out and try to find a building or take a photo of something that I know is coming down. Sometimes I just find out that something is gone, and it's kind of why I'm always just constantly taking photos. So, you know, I go back through my photos, and hopefully I can often find something, that a photo of something that has disappeared or changed significantly. And I'll sometimes, you know, paint something from a few years ago.
Brian describes the origins of Drift Exhibit's name and how it represents his own journey throughout Toronto. With COVID-19 pandemic restrictions loosening, his studio was able to invite in-person visitors again. He wants his work to reignite the curiosity of exploring the city, especially as daily routines revolved around the home during the pandemic.
Well, the title of the show references the idea of an aimless journey through the city, or drifting through the city. And it comes from the theory of psychogeography, which is basically the idea that the urban landscape affects your emotions and behavior as you move through it. It's a playful exploration of the, you know, of the city. It comes from the Situationist International, which is just a group of artists and intellectuals in the 60s. International, but I guess sort of found their origins in Paris. But it's always been the way that I move through the city, in Toronto as well as like other cities I visit. I try to not take the same route if I can, and I enjoy getting lost and discovering new things. So it just sort of refers to that kind of aimless drifting throughout the city. So I've been, you know, painting the city as a major focus in my work for years. I mean, the timing was really just really had to do more with COVID. We're supposed to have a show. COVID threw everything up in the air, and I can't even remember now exactly if I think we might have had the show scheduled earlier in the year and then it was pushed back. But this was really the first time that it's been safe to, well, we've been able to, the gallery itself is able to open and have an actual show. So the timing worked out really well, just from sort of a practical sense. But the body of work itself was, it's just a kind of a culmination of the work I've been doing over the last year. And so in a sense, COVID didn't have a massive effect on my daily life and sort of my painting practice. But I think the idea of sort of being close to home, of exploring the city, of our everybody's world kind of got a little smaller during COVID. And so I think that it wasn't so much intentional, but I think the work the notion of walking and exploring close to home was maybe a little more relevant to people after the last 2 years.
Mm-hmm. And what was the curation process like?
The curation is sort of I paint and I have a lot of stuff on the go in the studio, and really it's sort of like if a painting isn't working early on, that's part of the curatorial process in a way. Like it's at the end of the painting process, I usually have a pretty good idea if it's working or not. All these works they're mostly planned ahead. I had a pretty good idea of the images I wanted to work with. At the end of the day, if a painting doesn't work, doesn't make the cut, it doesn't get into the show. But most of what I had finished went into the show. So, yeah, I guess the curatorial part sort of happened. It happens throughout the process, I guess. It happens early on in sort of the selection of the images. And then as I'm working, I might make decisions as to whether or not a piece is going to work, it's going to fit.
For those coming to the exhibit, Brian hopes visitors will see both the beauty and character of Toronto through different lenses.
Well, I want viewers of my work, I guess, to be moved in some way. I want them to see that there can be beauty in a row of, dilapidated houses or garages. I want people to see that this city has a ton of character, which is unfortunately disappearing. The show's up till October 30th, and people should definitely pop by and check it out in person, because I think that everybody that I've been talking to is just really excited to see paintings in the flesh. For 2 years, myself included, everybody's been looking at art on their iPhones, in a couple inches, and very different experience to see these paintings in the flesh, to get up close, see the brushwork. So definitely go check it out, and I hope people enjoy it.
The Drift exhibit runs this month until October 30th at the Abuzo Gallery at 401 Richmond. I'm Daniel Centeno. You're listening to CJRU 1280 AM. This story is part of the Local Journalism Initiative.